Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are glorified, and your name alone is glorified in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Alright, today we are on a journey as it relates to the topic that we have chosen to look at today, and we are looking at charismatic expressions in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Amen. And we will be going through scriptures to see God's plan, God's purpose, and your part in it. I want to encourage you to pay attention today, right? Because every session would be actually important for the next session and the next session. Amen. So very, very importantly, I want to ask you to ensure you pay attention and reduce any form of distraction. Say, I am
born again.
I'm born of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to get into the teaching today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to start off today in the book of Titus. Chapter 1. We are looking at God's plan. Thank you, Sister Madeline. You can also, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at God's plan. What is God's plan? Please understand, this first session is to help you understand God's plan, God's purpose, and how you fit into it. Amen. Let us start up here in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. It says, Paul, are you there? It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. So this is just describing who Paul is. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Look at verse 2. I want you to be there. In verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life. In what? In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So this is the point here. There is something that God promised. God promised something before the world began. What did God promise? God promised eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
What did God promise?
Eternal life.
God promised eternal life. So, I want you to follow this critically, because you must follow the schedule. You must follow what we're talking about. Look at it. It says in verse 2, in hope. Are you there? What is hope? Hope is an expectation of something that will happen in the future, right? When you say, I hope that, I'm hoping for a better job. Do you have a better job now? No, right? So it is an expectation of something good. So it says, in hope of eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God, I'm in Titus 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, with God that cannot lie, promised. So what did God promise? Eternal life. When did God promise eternal life? It's in verse 2. I want to hear from you. When did God promise eternal life? Before the world began. Amen. Amen. So there was a promise. So before, we can say that before creation, there was a promise. Amen. What was the promise before creation? Eternal life. So what did God want to give to man? Eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
So God promised eternal life. Look at 1 John. I want you to see very clearly that the promise of God is eternal life. 1 John. Right? I am reading chapter 2. We are in verse 25. What did God promise? We are building a block in this Aglo seminar, which is called Charismatic Expressions, but we must see how we are where we are today. Look, are you in verse 25? Are you there? And this is the promise. 1 John 2:25. I want you to be there. It's a Bible seminar, so we are not rushing it. We are taking it step by step. I want you to actually take down notes. Amen. Everybody. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So what was the promise that he promised? Eternal life. So in the Bible, in the midst of two or three witnesses, we can say that God had a promise. There was something God wanted to give to man. And what did God want to give to man? God wanted to give man eternal life. Okay, look at Genesis. Because we need to stick it pillar upon pillar. We are looking at Genesis chapter 2. I want to read verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. Are you there? Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man. Are you there? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nose the breath of life. And he became a living soul. So what did God do? God took clay, put it together, and breath in that man. And that man, what did he become? A living soul. Meaning a soul that exists. So, the Bible is going to show us very clearly that there is a difference between being a living soul and having eternal life. Right? So, a man is born, is created. He is breathed into the breath that God breathed into him. He becomes a living soul, meaning an individual with a mind. And amen, praise God. You know what a soul is? Yeah. An individual with a mind, an individual with emotions. That was who Adam was. But by the time you look at verse 9, you start to see that there was something more that God wanted to give to Adam that Adam did not have. Look at verse 9. And out of the ground may the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Are you there? The tree of life. The what? The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So after this man became a living soul, meaning, listen, why did God create Adam a living soul? God created Adam a living soul so that Adam is able to make choices. Amen. Adam is able to make choices. So God did not just create Adam and give him eternal life. If he is going to have eternal life, it must be something he will choose. Amen. Church, amen. So the point is, the choice of life or the choice of not having life was left with who? Adam. Amen. Let's go again. Slowly. Let's go again slowly. Let's go again slowly. I said to you, God created Adam. What is the end goal in the mind of God? I want this man to have eternal life. But for this man to have eternal life must be a choice he will choose. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So what does God do? For this man to be able to choose rightly, God gives him a mind. A mind so that he can make a choice. So what do we see in verse 9? And out of the ground may the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at verse 16. So we can say God put a choice. God put a choice. He put a choice for the man. The tree of life or of good and evil. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely
die.
Church, thou shalt surely
die.
So we have an issue there. The issue we have here is that there is man. Man is bred into, are we together? He has become a living soul. Meaning he has ability to make choices. Now, after the ability to make choices, Moses presents to us that God has presented to Adam the knowledge of good and evil, the tree, and even the tree of life. The idea is that he is to choose life. God now tells him, do not reject life. What would be to reject life? That is to take of the knowledge of good and evil. Are we together? Church, are we together? Right? Because the moment he rejects the life, what will happen to him? He will die. What does death here mean? Amen. Amen. If death will mean, can we start off here by saying, death will mean a separation from God. An intentional detaching from God. Amen. Should we say it that way? Amen. She says that. So we see something with Adam. Adam ends up rejecting life. Are we together?
Yeah.
Adam ends up coming. Please come. Thank you. Just come.
Right.
Let's see.
Okay.
Adam ends up rejecting life. When Adam rejects life, what happens to Adam? Adam brings sin into the world. Adam brings death into the world. Praise God. Because we need to understand what really happened. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
We see, for those who are just coming, we see that man needed life. God's plan was that man needs life. God's plan was that God will give man life. For man to have life, God says, I must give him a soul. A soul so that he can make decisions. Decision either to accept or reject life. What ends up happening is the man now rejects life. He rejects life. What does he embrace? He embraces death. Amen. Church, amen. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. We are in verse 12. Romans 5:12. Are you there? It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want you to see that again. Let us read it slowly. Verse 12. I want you to be there. Are you in verse 12?
Yes,
church, are you in verse 12?
Yes.
It says, as by one
man,
as by one man. What happened?
Sin
entered the world.
Yeah.
What happened after sin entered the world? And death by sin. And death spread to all men. So, God wants to give man life. What does man embrace? Death. Are we together so far? Because if you agree with me so far, you will see how we have become charismatic beings. And so we should express our life naturally. We are doing the background. God has a plan. I'll start again. God's plan was to give man life before the world began. We saw that in Titus 1 verse 2. For that to happen, God creates man. God gives man a soul. We saw that. Soul, so that he can make decisions. Right? Then this man is to make a decision to choose from the life or death. This man, we see in Romans 5:12, the Bible, read it again, let's read it again. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world. How did sin enter the world?
By one man.
By one man. What is the sin of that one man? He rejected life. In rejecting life, what entered the world? Death. What kind of death entered the world? The moment he rejected life, did he just slum and die? No. So there were, and the Bible says he's a dead man, but he was still alive. So there must mean that there is something called death that is higher than physical death. Amen. Because when God said, when he rejected life, he introduced death into the world. Death was in the world, but the man was still breathing. So there is something higher than physical death. That's what we most likely call spiritual death. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see it in the scripture. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to get into this later. But the point is, it's saying here that death entered into the world. Hallelujah. Death entered into the world. So what will be the issue that God will try to fix?
Yes.
God will try to fix the issue with death.
Yes.
The plan of God before in the beginning was life. Man, he just wanted man to have life, and that would be all. But what has happened to man? Man rejects life, brings in death. Somebody might say, Adam is the one that brought the problem. The point is, you need to understand, for you to have life, it must be a personal, individual decision. So if Adam, let me say this way, like you might not have thought about. If Adam accepted life, right, and so did rejected life, so what would have happened? We would have said, there was life in the world, but as life is in the world, so did brought in death. Meaning, salvation was never going to be, let me say this way, you receiving life was never going to be a corporate decision. You receiving life was going to be an individual decision. So God did not plan that Adam will be the one to determine your fate. Amen.
Amen.
He brought death. That's why it says all man sin. So you are not a sinner because of Adam. Amen. What did you inherit from Adam? You inherited a fallen body. A nature, a system, a world that is full of sin. You came into that world. But your decision for life or death is up to who?
Me.
You. Amen.
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 Amen. So the point is, everybody must receive life independently. So there will not be a, so you don't have eternal life by what do you call it now?
Right.
Your father is a Christian, so you become a Christian. So Adam is a Christian, let's say that way. So by virtue of being Adam's child, you become a Christian. No, that is why God gave Adam a living soul to make decisions. If Adam made decision, you must make a decision. Praise the Lord.
Just
praise the Lord. That is why even Adam's children, I want to remember the children of Adam. Give me their names. Cain and Abel. Cain had to make his own decision after Adam. Are you seeing it now? Cain had to make his own decision after Adam. Abel had to make his own decision after Adam. So we are saying that in this idea of God, it is personal. Amen.
Amen.
So now we see that there is death in the world. So what does God do? God will have to deal with death. Amen.
Amen.
Because death is now in the world. So look at what the Bible says that has happened to man and what God has done. Second Timothy. Alright. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We want to read verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. So, so to speak, death is now in the world. Death is now a king in the world. Death is now reigning in the world. So death has a kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let us look at it again. Hold your hand in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go to Romans. Because you need to see, because the aim of this teaching is to get you to function in your nature. Amen.
Amen.
What is your nature? The charismatic nature. The charismatic life. So what we call the supernatural, we are going to see how the supernatural is your natural habitat. Fish in water. Man on land. The new creation, supernatural. Amen. We are going to see from Bible that you so the things that people call supernatural for you is normal. Praise God. Why? Because that is where and how you were born. But we are looking in this first session how we got here. So look at Romans chapter 5. We read verse 12. We said, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So the Bible tells us that all sinned. So Adam did not become the end of your faith. You are the one that you determine if you reject or accept this gospel. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The only thing that I'm doing anything about is your physical body. Amen. So what did you inherit from Adam? A body. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 14. Now, death has come to the world. Verse 14 now says, nevertheless, death did what? Reigned. Death did what?
Reigned.
So, is there a reign of death on the earth?
Yes.
There's a reign of death on the earth. So, when you hear reign, it must mean that there is a kingdom. Praise God. Look at verse 17. Romans 5:17. It says, for if by one man's offense, like I've told you, even if it was not Adam, it could have been anybody. Anybody could have brought in death. Anybody could have sinned that brought in death. And death becomes a king. How did death become a king? Many people going in the way of
death.
Amen. Church, amen. Yeah, that's it. You know, for if by one man's offense, are you in verse 17? Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense, death did what? Say, death, verse 17, death reigned. It reigned. So there was a reign of death in the earth that God created, that is meant to be for God. God's perfect will was that there will be life. But now, God, so to speak, as a man on the earth who has a problem, he has introduced death. He's introduced death into the world. He has introduced death into his body. Are you getting the point here? So God now, so you will see death is a spiritual cancer that has physical consequences. So can we say spiritual death is separation from God, a spiritual cancer, meaning it seems like you can't see its evidence physically, but it's working. Amen. So for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. So the point is, what does God do? God now, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, brings in another reign. What can we call this reign according to verse 17? The reign of
life.
So, what does a man that is born into this world face practically? The reign of death and the reign of life. So you see in verse 17, you say, much more they which receive. So the point is that word receive is the word, Greek word lambano. Lambano means to take a hold of strongly, meaning the thing is available, but its experience is based on taking. Amen. That's why it says, they which receive. How many people did Jesus die for?
Good.
How many people today are in eternal death? Many. Are they in eternal death because God has not provided?
No.
They are in eternal death because they are not lambano. Amen. They are not what? Lambano. Taking a hold of that which God has done. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because I want you to understand what lambano is. The same thing when Philip preached the gospel to people in Samaria. The Bible says they believed the gospel. But they were not speaking in tongues. They were not speaking in tongues, not because they needed a new spirit. They were not speaking in tongues because they did not Lambano. Take a hold of the spirit that was already at work in them. So the point is, they did not take a hold. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to, why am I using Lambano today? You will have to at some point understand that reality. Because a lot of things can be a reality. What you experience is what you that I'm giving the Greek word for you, so you remember. What you lambano. Amen. So salvation is available to all of the world. It comes by the preaching of the gospel, but the man that hears it must lambano. To see the experiential effect of salvation. One of the experiential effects of salvation is speaking in tongues. So those people in Samaria could have spoken in tongues. But because they did not have knowledge, they did not lambano what they already had. Amen. People in the world today, is there opportunity for salvation?
Yes.
But what have they not done? They are not lambano. What is your lambanoing? Knowledge. Information. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. So we see here, let's go back. Yeah. So you see, they will receive of grace. Well, verse 17. They will receive abundance of grace. So is grace available for the man that is not saved? Yes. Is the gift of, are you verse 17? Romans 5, 17. Is the gift of righteousness available for the man that is not saved?
Yes.
But for that man to have the gift of righteousness, he must
lambano.
He must take a hold of it. So lambano is an active participation with the truth.
Good.
Amen. It must be active. So you hear something, you respond. You take it. Amen. So grace is, there is a phone here. Okay? Grace is, there is a hanky here. Right? It's there. Lambano is that you stood up to take it. But for you to stand up to take it, it's either you have information saying, come and take it. But the action of walking towards to take this thing and taking a hold of it is lambano. The idea is that white cloth can be there for 100 years and you will never take it to experience what this thing can do till you take a hold of it. So salvation is a reality. God, Jesus, has come and he has brought in a new system. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
That's what Romans 5:17 is telling us. So let's go out, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. Church, amen. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 1 now?
Yes.
Are you in verse 9?
Yes.
Right? Look at it. Who has saved us and called us with our holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So God has a purpose. Are we together? Do we agree? God has a
purpose.
Right? Where is God's purpose? Follow the words. Which words?
Giving
where?
Us.
Is giving us where?
In
Christ Jesus. So the purpose of God, no matter how you want to say, you want to talk about the purpose of God is where?
In Christ Jesus.
And this purpose, when was this purpose consummated? Before the world began. Amen. Church,
amen.
What is this thing, the purpose of God before the world began? Let's go back to where the first scripture we used to start today. Titus 1 verse 2. Before the world began. So we are starting out with God's mind. We then move on to man's deeds. We then move on to what God does. We then move on to who we are. Then we emphasize it. That's charismatic expressions. Amen. Church, amen. So this Titus is telling us that God has a purpose and a plan in Christ Jesus before the world began. What does Titus tell us? Titus 1 verse 2. Before the world began. What does Titus tell us?
In hope of
eternal life.
Which God? That cannot lie. Promise before the world began.
So when we say the purpose and plan of Christ, putting Timothy and Titus together, Timothy tells us that God has a purpose and plan before the world began. Titus tells us that in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, has promised before the world began. So what did God promise before the world began? Eternal life. What was the purpose and the grace of God that is before the world began? Eternal life. Are we together? Are you seeing? Is there? Amen. So he says that that was the. If you ask God, what do I want to do for man? I want to give man life. Amen. What will that be? That will forever be the agenda of God, giving man life. Now look at verse 10. But is now made manifest. 2 Timothy 1:10. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
But is now made manifest by the appearing. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
The appearing of our Savior. Who is Jesus? Our Savior. Who hath done what?
I want
everybody, you know, it's a Bible sermon, so at some point, even if you have not started, we're going to go through 150 scriptures today. Right. Amen. Praise God. So it's for 6 hours. If you don't even read 200, then we're not done. So amen. Praise God. Look at verse 10. God is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. What has Jesus Christ? What is the principal individualistic thing you can point to that Jesus Christ did?
Abolished death.
He abolished death. So death was the problem. Amen. What are all, if you wanted to summarize the prophecies, you can summarize in a few words. You know, the prophets were speaking about what to happen. The aim and the goal of their prophecy was that Jesus, a Messiah, is coming to abolish death. Please look at it, because we're not going to it, because you must realize that the aim, the problem with humanity is death. Death spiritual. What we see in the physical, you realize that the Bible says that Adam died, and then you see it take a while. Cain died. You see it take a while for the physical one. Amen. Yeah, so it's more than physical. So look at it now. It says in the text, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. How did he do it? Is there? And brought
life
and
immortality.
What is the answer to death?
Immortality.
Life, I mean immortality. So that same gift God wanted to give us in the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
That same gift is the same solution and the same answer to the problem that Adam brought. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's Romans 6 that says it's in 23 or 25. Romans, let's check Romans 6 quickly. We're going to come back to Titus. Romans, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Is that verse 25?
23.
23, huh? Good. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is
eternal.
What is that thing that God gives?
Eternal life.
What is eternal life? Himself. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. Who sinned? We said in this case, Adam sinned. What did he bring? He brought him spiritual death. The answer to spiritual death, eternal life. What has been the promise of God from the beginning? Eternal life. What has been the issue with humanity and the existence? Whatever you call it, it is death. What is the answer to death? Life. When a man has life, has he defeated death?
Yes.
That's the plan of God. Look at it. He says, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality? Okay, let's go back to 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. I don't want to preach this. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. Are you in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10?
Yes.
Amen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. Who now, who has brought? He has brought life and immortality. We understand. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. He has brought life and immortality to life. How?
Through the gospel.
So in the gospel, can I say that in the gospel there is life?
Yes.
In the gospel, there is life.
Yes.
And that life, when I lambano it, it actually takes care of death.
Yes.
Amen.
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 There is life. There is life. So we're going to see practically very soon how life enters into man. What is the issue? Look at Hosea 13. Hosea 13. Hosea. Chapter 13, verse 14. It's Hosea, then you see Joel, and then Elias. Hosea 13, verse 14. The promise of the prophet is summarized in this. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Hosea 13, are you in verse 14 now?
Yes.
Okay, it says, I will ransom them. I want somebody to maybe open a TPT version, and another person maybe open NLT, but I'll still read this one here. Then you read for us. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Are you in verse 14?
Yes.
I will redeem them from death. Amen.
Amen.
O death, I will be thy plague. You know what a plague is? I will be thy destruction. So God is doing what? Prophesying. Prophesying through who? He's prophesying through his prophet Hosea. Telling us what God, Jesus, will come and do. What will Jesus come and do? He will abolish death. So now, through prophet Hosea, God is bragging. God is saying, I will ransom my people from the grave. Hallelujah. I will redeem them from death. Oh death, I will be thy plague. Oh grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall not be hid from my eyes. He's saying, I will not change my mind on this idea of actually destroying death. Amen.
Amen.
Just amen. Amen. So let's sit in the NLT version. The NLT version, Hosea. Hosea 13, verse 14. The NLT version. Let's
see.
I will ransom them from the grave.
Should I redeem them from death?
I will redeem them from death.
Oh death, bring on your terrors.
Oh death, bring on your terrors. Uh-huh.
Oh grave, bring on your plagues.
Oh death, bring on your plagues.
Well, I will not take pity on
I will not take pity. So the point here is, he's trying to explain to us the reality of what God will come and do. Isaiah 25. I want to show you from scriptures, and I'm using this session to simply tell you what God has done. Isaiah 25. Are you in verse 7?
Yes.
You won't even read from verse 6. People like this scripture. It says, and in the in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. It's talking about salvation then. A feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Look at verse 7. And he will destroy in this. So there is a mountain. There is a mountain where a certain destruction will take place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Later in Hebrews, you are going to hear, you have come to this, to Mount Zion. So there is a mountain where destruction will take place. Look at it again. It says it there. It says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over how many people?
All
people. And the veil that is spread over how many nations? So in Zion, meaning where the gospel is preached, destruction of death will take place. Look at the next verse. It says it here. It says it there. Verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. So I'm saying to you that the mindset, the plan, the purpose of God from the beginning, that Isaiah, Jeremiah, we're going to look at Ezekiel now, all of them are saying the same thing concerning death. He will swallow up death in victory. So there is a victory that is assured. Hallelujah. The what? Victory that is assured. So if you're in the days of Isaiah, Isaiah was a preacher of hope. One day, death will be gone upon a certain mountain. Amen.
Amen.
You know, in their days, they would have been thinking it was a physical mountain. Maybe Everest. Maybe Olives. But we know from scripture that that is just symbolic to talk about the place. The mountain of God, the church, the people of God, where God will be doing his delivering work through the preaching of the gospel. Praise God. Church, praise God. So we are seeing another prophet now tell us that death was the issue. Amen. Death was the issue. How will he deal with death? We said it is the gospel. We said that in the gospel, immortality, man becomes, the man that receives the gospel becomes somebody that cannot die. Amen. That is the word immortality. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is the word what? Immortality. The man that has believed the gospel can never
die.
Death was the problem. How then will God deal with this thing practically? Ezekiel 36. How will God deal? Ezekiel 36. How will God, verse 26. How will God deal with this issue of death? When you are in Ezekiel 36:26, please let me know. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36:26. Are we there now? It says, a new heart also will I give unto you. What else? And a new spirit will I put within you. So we are getting to the practicals now. How will this eternal life come? Somebody will say, by the hearing of the gospel. Okay, what happens when I hear the gospel? I will receive a spirit. A new heart. A new mindset. I'm talking about a new spirit. So that's what God said he will do. I will take away the stony hearts of flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27. And what do I mean by all these things? I will put, are you there? I will put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. So we are getting to the details. The details of this matter is that man will be free from death. The way you'll be free from death is by the instrumentality of the spirit. Hallelujah. This spirit will be the possession of a man that believes the gospel. By possessing the spirit, man becomes immortal. Who will transmit eternal life into that man? The spirit. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Who will transmit? The spirit. How will you get the spirit? You hear a message. What have the prophets been saying? The prophets have been prophesying about the spirit to come. What will this spirit do? When this spirit comes, this spirit will extinguish death at its source. This spirit, we can call it light. Amen?
Amen.
Death can be called darkness. So, you can go back to Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, when God says, let there be light. What is God really saying? A puzzling for your mind. Well, let there be light. He says, null and void. The state of the heart of a man who has not experienced life. Then what does God, and then the Bible says, the spirit is over it. And then God says, let there be light. the preaching of the gospel, and a man believes, and there is light. Paul will now say the same way, just the exact thing that was said in Genesis. That same light, Paul says it is the light of the glorious gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the point is, yes, there is death. The promise is life. This mentality, the spirit. This spirit comes by you hearing. When you hear and believe, you have the spirit. When you have the spirit, you may not see anything, but you are immortal. Death has died. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Death has died. The spirit, so there is the spirit that I receive that heals death.
Yes.
Remember what we came from Hosea 2 verse 14? He said, I will not repent. I will not change my mind. I will be the end of death. Hosea 2 verse 14. I will be the end of death. I will be the end of death. By the spirit, I will give you a new spirit. A new heart and a new spirit will I give unto you. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. So who is that man that is born again? The man that has received the spirit. Can we call a man that is born again the man that has received the spirit?
Yes.
Can we say a born again Christian the man that will never die?
Yes.
The one that is eternal?
Yes.
Immortal?
Yes.
Has God living in him?
Yes.
Has the spirit living in him? What spirit did he receive? The Bible calls the spirit to receive the spirit of Christ. Romans 8 verse 9. Listen to that. What extinguishes death? Christ. How? Through his spirit. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. We are in verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9. Are we there?
Yes.
But you are not
in the flesh.
Church, but you are not
in the flesh.
In the flesh, but in the
spirit.
In this place. Now that's why, please, as you are learning the Bible, words must never have a fixed meaning. In this place, flesh is now called a location. Amen.
Amen.
You are not in the flesh. Where are you? In the so spirit has now become in this verse. Spirit is a location. So the location, are you getting it now? The location of the man that has believed is called
spirit.
Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. But ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the spirit. If can you see condition there? If so be that the spirit of Christ does what? Dwells in you. The man that has believed the gospel is the man in whom has the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I believe the gospel, the spirit dwells in me. Amen. I believe the gospel, my location is spirit. Are we still in verse 9 together?
Yes.
Are we verse 9 together? If any man have not, so there is something that a man believes and has. And there is something a man does not believe and so does not have. Please, let's concentrate here. It says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, what do I have? So I am of him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, hallelujah.
Amen.
What do I have?
Spirit.
The spirit of Christ. So I am of him.
Yes.
If I, what is the proof that I am of him?
You have the spirit.
The spirit. What did that, you know, I'm taking baby steps. And I'm liking that you are agreeing so far. So how many people here have agreed that there was a promise from the beginning? Because when we get into session 2 and the light, when we are saying you have been agreeing so far. Amen. So when we say, let me tell you where we are going to. You agree that in the spirit, then the spirit, and I don't believe the word of God does not lie.
Yes.
Yeah, I like where we are going. You are agreeing so far. So when I tell you that it's the Bible says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and daughters, how many of them shall what? Prophesy. You don't say, no. Are you agreeing so far? So, I'm going there, but we can say it here. How many people should I do that? Yes, you can. We wasted some time, so we can catch up in it. And we can prime your mind to where we are going to. Right? Because, let me say this way, our Christology must be what aids the practice of our pneumatology. What I just mean by that is, what we know about Christ is what affects how we confidently practice the Spirit. Amen. Why do I know that my eyes will be open and I will see and know? And if they sick, will be healed. In this meeting today, why do I know that the oppression of tongues and interpretation of tongues is this thing I'm talking about? Death has been defeated. Then there is eternal life. Then there are attributes of this life. Tangible that we can bank on. So if I say that I cannot prophesy, that I'm ignorant or I don't understand if resurrection has worked in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, hallelujah. Amen. So look at it. So when it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, my sons and daughters shall prophesy, and they shall see vision. They shall dream the old man. So can the believer, the one with eternal life, can he prophesy? Yeah. Why? By the instrumentality of the Spirit. By the instrumentality of the Spirit. By the instrumentality of the Spirit. Amen. So what is the enabler to prophesy? The Spirit. Are we together?
Yes.
Then he says, they shall see vision. So prophet is prophesying that a time will come that the Spirit will pour. The same thing we have been saying. The gospel is to get the Spirit poured. The Spirit is poured. The man that has the Spirit, what Spirit does he have? The Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not of Him. We are not going a step further, we are going to come back one again. We are going to step further to say, the man that has the Spirit, the prophet has prophesied. And you are the one that said, you believe the word. I mean, you know what we said? I mean, we believe the word. We believe the word. Let's do it again. We should do it again.
I believe
in the word of God. Amen. Praise God. That was enough. So we said Joel. How many people believe Joel is the prophet of God? Joel prophesied. Joel now said, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. How many people believe that part has happened? Amen. And he says, okay, you know what? So that we can enjoy this word, I might as well just jump because I'm emphasizing it too much already. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, then I'll move into Joel. Romans 8, 9. Are you there?
Yes.
That's why you have to start paying particular attention to the verses we are talking about. Amen? Because this is describing. We are describing a journey. Amen.
Yeah.
And if Christ be in you, someone say, Christ is in me.
Is in me.
Come on, Christ is in me.
Is
he said, so the question is, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of
sin.
I'm in verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10. If Christ be in
you,
is Christ in you? So he said the body is dead. Subject to death is the actual original word. Meaning this body you are seeing physically, will it grow old? Yes. But are you a believer? Yes. That's what he said there. Is Christ being you? He says, but the Spirit. The Spirit, are you there? The Spirit is
life.
So is there another part of you that exists? Based on what we are seeing here.
Yeah.
We are talking about two parts of you. Body. But what is the impact? The body will be what? Is still death doomed. Amen.
Amen.
Subject to death. Can still die. Will still drop on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
In our sense, but the Spirit is life.
Yes.
What is the Spirit?
Life.
What is the Spirit?
Life.
Life. Because of righteousness, there is no evil in that Spirit.
Amen.
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 But this spirit, where is that spirit? In you. Let's go back to verse 9 again. But ye are not in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
But in the
spirit.
You know what is emphasizing? We're emphasizing. I'm doing the emphasizing now. You are going to leave this. Amen. You are in the. So let's begin.
I'm in the spirit.
I'm in the
spirit.
Come on, I'm in the spirit. The spirit, my location. I am in the spirit. Okay, let's say this way. I have the spirit of Christ. Come on, I have the spirit of Christ. I have the spirit of Christ. Look at verse 9 again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Say, the spirit of God, dwells in me. He says, now if any man have not the spirit of God, he is none of these. Say, I have the spirit of God.
I am
of God. Come on,
I have the spirit of God.
I am of God. Look at Titus. I have the spirit of God. I am of God. You are agreeing so far?
Yes.
I like this. Titus chapter 3. What has made me who I am today? Spirits. Titus 3. Are we in verse 3? I want you to be there. Titus 3 verse 3, are you there?
Yes.
It says in 3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish. So it is describing us here. It's telling us about our nature by describing our actions. Did you get that? Did you get that? He's trying to describe the former we before the resurrection. But what is he using to describe the former we? What we do. Amen. So he said, we were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice. So he's telling you the attributes of a man that is dead in sin. Just as a passing thought, if I am a believer and I'm living in malice, I'm living like an impostor. Amen.
Amen.
That is not of my spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I might see it in the world. It might be popular in the world. But you might need to remind yourself, I am not of this world. I am from above. Amen.
Amen.
So there are things that are practiced in this world. They might be practiced by other believers. But we are saying to you, the Bible is saying to you, it's not of your nature. It's not of your way. You must understand which one is yours and which one is not yours. So, for example, if you are keeping malice, you are acting like a thief. What are you doing? You are taking another man's way of life and making it yours. It's not yours. Because you are a man of and in the spirit. If we see you giving a tongue in an interpretation, a revelation, giving the seed, you are now acting like your original self. Amen.
Amen.
So you can talk to yourself and say, this is not me. Amen. Envy is not me. Malice is not me. Siding diverse was not me. Look at it now. He says, hateful and hating one another is hatred in the spirit of Christ. Come on, is hatred in the spirit of Christ? Where does that spirit dwell? Come on, where does the spirit dwell? Is hatred in the spirit of Christ?
No.
Where does the spirit of Christ dwell?
Love.
In me. So if hatred, I'm going somewhere. You know, we always say Christ, but people say yes. So we then say that spirit you just yes to is in you. Yeah? Amen. There is more to you that means the axe. There is more to you, said the Lord. There is more. There is more to you. There is more to you. There is more to you. And I will explain it the more that is in you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because you know what? You know, but don't be like that. Don't be who that say they are used to pastors from the interpretation. You just say it. Now I will teach it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Just praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But for you have to agree with who you are. You know, a man cannot fight himself. Right? Don't fight yourself. Right? Agree with who you are. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You start to say there are some things that are not me. Dwelling in anger, not me. Not me. Staying in offense and bitterness, what do you say?
Not me.
There's old you, yes, old me. But the same way Christ was raised up from the dead, not to be dead anymore. I'm raised, therefore, bitterness, not me. That's how we correct our behavior. So you can write that down. We use the resurrection to correct our behavior, regardless of how people behave on earth. So we got here by saying, right, that the old man is being described from action. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lust, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, say something changed about me.
Something changed.
When I received the gospel. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
We are going to very interesting grounds. You know, you are agreeing so far. Amen. So by the time he says, you see vision, you say, yeah, I see. Don't say, ah, no. We start from the known to enter the unknown. What is the known? What he said, I see. How do you know? Joel, the tenant, there is more for Joel to lose than God to lose in line. Amen. They cannot lie. They can't. Joel says, God will pour out his spirit and they shall see. What do you say? I see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're talking about you because we're getting to the point. I'm going to be telling you in the next session how to desire the things of the spirit. In the last session, we got the things of the spirit. Amen. But desire comes from knowledge. You know it's there, and we start to mambango. Say, I see.
I see.
I prophesy. For the prophet said so about me. I want you to be bold. The prophet said so about me. Yeah. That's what he said. It shall come to pass in the last days. You believe it so far. My sons and daughters, I will pour out my spirit. You believe it so far. Let's continue. Titus 3 is getting exciting for me. Verse 4. But after that the kindness, are you there? After that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward all men appeared. Not by the works of
righteousness.
I want you to be there. Not by the works of
righteousness.
Not by the works of. How did I have life? Something that I did of God, who is so good that I believe. So he tells you there, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Let's say it this way. When I prophesy, I am a manifestation or an expression of God's mercy. Not your God's what?
Mercy.
Amen. Not by... So people are saying that it's not of you. It's of God. The ability of the Spirit. The fact that the Spirit is in you. Are we together so far?
Yeah.
But after that the kindness and the love of God has appeared to all men, not according to the works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy. He did what?
Saved us.
How? By the washing of what? Regeneration and the renewing. By who? Church. By who? So who did the work? The Holy Ghost. What did the Holy Ghost do? Anything you say in that verse is right. What did you also do? I like a meeting where people are talking. Let me tell you something about meetings where people are talking. The worst you can be is wrong. And just let me tell you so that you are clear. The only people that will laugh at you will be me, the King Sir D. Well, not many of us will laugh at you, but for love, you know, those are people that will laugh at you. Amen. Praise God. I mean, apart from that, the other people don't look at us. So you didn't even do it. Don't say it. But also laugh. Amen. That's what's gonna happen to you. So enjoy yourself. Amen. Or amen. Because see, as we move on and we are talking and breaking down the things of the spirit, you will start having visions within. God might prompt you to hug somebody, to go and laugh with somebody, to give a word to somebody, to do whatever with somebody. If you are conservative, amen, you will not enjoy it. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. That's why I'm trying to get you to respond. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let me stop and say this. If you are feeling sleepy, it's not the devil. It's not with us. Amen.
Amen.
If you're feeling sleepy, it's because you ate too much, or you didn't eat enough, or you are tired already. Whatever the case is, just stand up and walk around. Amen. And go back and sit down. Or, you know, go and wash your face with water. Today, we manifest the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 And the power still from issues. Because as you get used to the things of the Spirit, God wants you to be confident in the things of the Spirit, that you're able to take the things of the Spirit out, says the Lord. That's why, to take it out, to let men know that there is a resurrection, and you are that proof. And so, we are doing all these things, let's stop that from continuing, we are doing all these things to get you comfortable in your skin. Did you hear that?
Yep.
The supernatural is your skin.
Amen.
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 I'm just trying to explain it to you so you can have something in front of you to say, this is me. Amen.
Amen.
This is me.
It's me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the me is a function of His mercy.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If there's a need for a tongue, this is me. An interpretation is me. It's my way, my reign, my style, my how, my power, my life. Amen.
Amen.
So there is the supernatural life, that's my normal life, and there is the world that we live in. We are using this seminar to help you say, bro, wake up, you are supernatural.
Amen, sir. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you must remind your mind, I am supernatural.
I am supernatural.
The resurrection has done a work. It's going to work, and you must remind us, and that's what I'm teaching. You have to understand where you used to be, who you are now, and how the world will make you look like that's not who you are. You say, no, this is me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The supernatural, my normal.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
My normal, my normal, my normal, my normal, my normal. In life and ministry, my normal. Hallelujah. My normal. Why? Immortality to light through the gospel. Amen.
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 See it for yourself. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness. Titus 3 verse 5. Which we have done. This is not you're good enough or not good enough. This is the operation of the mercy of God. That's why we say, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, one side. We are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, another side. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The both are necessary.
Yep.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The both are necessary. But when we are talking about the gift of the Spirit, we are talking about the operation of the mercy of God. Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
When we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we are talking about the life, the fruit of the Spirit, the life of the Christian that helps him in his, like people like to call it, his holy work. It's consecrated work. So you get love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, gentleness, faith, fruit. When we're talking about, and he would have to cultivate this one. Amen.
Amen.
When we talk about gifts of the Spirit, is the operation of the mercy of God based on the resurrection, based on the resurrection. Okay, look at it. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing. How many people know some washermen? You know some dry cleaners. If they wash your white is white. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? But now imagine Jesus. And just like Paul used those words to just get us to accommodate the reality. Imagine Jesus is your washerman. Will your clothes be clean?
Yes.
Yeah. He touches the clothes and it becomes new.
Yeah.
And Peter. Did you see that? Yeah. He said, but by the washing of regeneration, redeeming, he did something to you. You are no longer normal. And the renewing, it is by the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, which is shared or not. I want you to give verse 6. I want you to give a particular adjective you must see. Because this thing is plenty. Look, are you verse 6?
Yes.
Which is shared on us, how?
Abundance.
Yeah. How?
Abundance.
So can we say, do we have the abundance of the gifts in the household?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's say it this way. What did God give us? Spirit. What is inside the spirit? The gifts of the spirit. So, if we have the spirit, we have the ability to function in the gifts of the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's already there. Amen. Meaning, my focus in my teaching today is to help you be conscious of who you are. Be conscious of spirit. Not particularly gifts. Amen. My point is, be conscious. When we say we want to demonstrate the spirit, here that tomorrow we have Holy Ghost meetings. Tomorrow, today, today, in the next day, we have Holy Ghost meetings. So you have enough time. Amen. When we say we want to demonstrate the spirit, you are not saying, which one do I have? Don't be like that, because let's say this way to help you. The one you have, nobody might have a need of it here. Amen. That's why this, which one do I have, might not be a good thing. You say your own is healing. They look everywhere, nobody is sick. What does that mean? It means that when we are all demonstrating, you just sit down. You say, what happened? My location? No! What do you have? Spirit! Amen. What do you have?
Spirit.
Verse 6. And he shed on us. How? Let's say this way. It's not as if that's not going to make something happen, but it's for your mind. Let's shout abundantly 5 times.
Abundantly, 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 abundantly.
Even if you don't remember anything in this meeting, you remember
abundantly.
Hey, look at it. He's shedding on us abundantly. How? You know what we are doing here in this meeting? I am giving you all the dots that you will not be able to say, it's only Brother Toby that can minister, or it's only Michael that... No. If you hear, shed on us abundantly. How is that? Through Jesus Christ. So, if you have Jesus Christ, there must be an abundant shedding.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're a believer. Amen. These are your tools in this battle. Abundantly. Shared. Through Jesus. Not your works. Abundantly. Shared. Through Jesus. Not your works. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I say I'm the temple.
Of
the Holy Ghost. I'm the temple.
The
first session is at 12:30. Don't look at your issue again. Amen. I'm the temple.
I'm the
of the Holy Ghost. Come on,
I am the temple
of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So, we started off by talking about a promise. God had a promise. His promise for us before the world began was eternal life. That's what we started off, Titus 1, verse 2. Then we said, he created man and made him a living soul. Genesis 2, verse 5. He made that man a living soul so that man can make decisions. And there was a decision before that man. Accept life. Symbolically called the tree of life. That man rejects life and brings sin and death into the world. Romans 5 verse 12. Now, we said, Adam is not your problem. Every man must reject or accept life independently. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But Adam, death has come into the world and brings a system. But everybody is faced with actually responding to life or death. We also said that death reigns. It's reigning. Death has a kingdom. Death is a king. What does Jesus do by his death and his resurrection? He brings in his own kingdom onto the earth legally for as many as will lamban. Remember? As many as will receive. How many people has God provided his kingdom for? Everybody. But who enters the kingdom? The man that lambanos. What does it mean to lambano? To take a hold of and drag it as mine. Amen. Lambano means an active seizure of a reality. Amen. Praise God. Lambano means I know it's mine. I'm sure it's mine. I take it as mine. And I'm not going to allow anybody to take it from me.
Amen.
What takes things from people? The way they think.
Wow. Good.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
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 Praise
so we will be acting like lambanoas.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll use Greek and English.
Yes.
In this conference, anything will get the point. We use it. I'm a lambanoa. Hey, I have taken of the Spirit. I have taken it. I have taken it. We have said so far, death reigned, and God swore through Uzziah. In Uzziah 13, verse 14, God swore, I will be the death of death.
Wow.
That was what he said. God swore, I will be the death of death. I will not have mercy. Death on your case, I will kill you. That's what he said. I will finish death. Isaiah says it this way. Upon the mountain, death will be destroyed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How will he destroy death? Ezekiel tells us, I will pour my spirit. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we are now. We are men that have received the Spirit.
Yes.
Romans 8 verse 9 says, if you have not received the Spirit, you are not of him. But in this room, we are people that have received the Spirit.
Amen.
I said, I've received the Spirit.
Amen.
We have received the Spirit. Let's see Jesus talk about the Spirit. Because we are getting to an agreement. So the temperature is rising. We have received the Spirit. Later, we'll get into what this Spirit can do. You know, I'm sure, because of the way I preach, when I say what this Spirit can do, you say, hey. Then we'll get to the next part. What this Spirit can do through you, if you allow. That's where I'm praying that you say,
amen.
I know you say, amen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
Is that on that last one? Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Let's look at when Jesus is talking about this Spirit in John 14. Because it is charismatic expression. Expression. So we are not doubting the charisma.
Amen.
It is the expression. John 14. Where do I want to read? Okay. I'm going to read this. It's not part of my plan, but I'm going to read it so we can enjoy it. Right? Let's look at John 14. We'll read 12, 13 for enjoyment. We'll read verse 16 for enjoyment. And we'll read verse 17 for enjoyment. That's what I'm going to. But let's read verse 12. Are you in John 14, verse 12?
Yeah. Yes.
John 14, verse 12. Say, I'm there.
Yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto
you,
he that believeth. Stop. When I believe, what happens to me? I receive the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, we are talking in this box about the man that has believed. Say, I'm a believer. Okay, very, very excellent to you. He that believeth on me, the works I do, shall he do also, and greater than this shall he, because I go unto my
Father.
So, Jesus is talking about a group of people that are capable of greater stuff. I'm a believer. Come on,
I'm a believer.
Come on, Jesus is talking about me.
Look at
verse 13. In context, so you cannot miss it. What is verse 13 saying? Is there. And whatsoever ye shall
ask.
That word ask is the word demand. Amen.
Amen.
That's the word that was used in the Greek. In my
name.
In my what?
Name.
Church, in my word,
name.
I will do. In context, on the line of greater works, in the light of ministry. When you say Jesus did greater works, what did he come to us to do in terms of
Amen.
Don't lose me now.
Amen.
So we are looking at it in the pride, in the context. When he says greater work, what did he say Jesus was doing? It was not like he was visiting Thomas and all of that. Amen. Do you eat? Amen. What was he doing? He went about teaching. What else did he do? Doing good works, healing. Did he use the gift of word of knowledge? Word of wisdom?
Delivering of the oppressed.
Oppressed, miracles. So, you know what he did. So he said, so that you see here, so it makes sense to you. Look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask, why? In my name. So what does in my name mean? In my name is the reputation of his accomplishments. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
In my name, meaning I am operating in this stead based on what that man has done. Why am I able to see somebody and the sockets are gone? And I'm still able to say, come, let me put my hands on your eyes. In my name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In my name. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
How is it that we are in trouble and I am able to be rested, that God will show, will tell, I will see the way to go? Why? We are operating in His name. Look at it there. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Now, like I said to you, when I always teach, I try to use context. Amen. Amen. So this is not a reckless usage. Let me say, where I prayed 10 years ago. That time I just got married and she was shocking me. She's shocking me now. Amen. So I now said, you cannot use the scripture to say, in the name of Jesus, Nike Babalala is mine. I'm going to walk. Why? That would be an abuse of what? Is that ministry work?
No.
Is that the work to extend the cause of Christ? Is that. Marrying my wife should not extend the cause of Christ for you. Amen. Do you get the point? Meaning that any scripture can be abused. That I said, in the context of what was said, the man spoke about greater works. And he spoke about greater works. Then he says, then you go and do in my name. So when I stand up, I'm standing here. That's why he says, any man that speaks, let him speak like an oracle of God. In my name, I don't come in. It's not about the shout. I don't just come and say, hello, Jesus. You know Jesus Christ saves. Well, Jesus Christ loves you. No. We come with the veracity of the message. We come with a boldness that is real. A man has died. A man was raised. A man lives on the inside of us. And he has given us his authority for we are him. So we come with that boldness. We declare the message, even with signs and wonders following.
Amen.
Following. Why? We stand in His name. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, come on now. I'm not going to want to stand here. Maybe that's why this way I'm standing is light. I'm not going to stand in His name. Hey! I am in His name.
I am
in His name. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's not going to tell you what happens when this name is used. Is there. Verse 16. Are you there?
Yes.
And I will pray. You know, in fact, let's look at verse 17 again. If ye, you see there's a condition there.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes many people don't. Amen.
Amen.
Many people complain. If ye, remember what I always say, awareness is the secret to consistent participation.
Mm.
If I know, then I can act. If they ask me why am I acting, I know why I'm acting. So it's no longer just head knowledge. You're not talking about head knowledge. When I'm teaching the beginning, he's going to use John 14 now. Then he'll use John 12. But he might never act on it. They might never act like so. Look at it. It says here in verse 14, if you shall ask in my name, I will. The same person in charge of your resurrection says when you are out on his cause, he will.
Mm.
The confidence is that when he said he will save me and give me life, the big deal we did. Others will be small. Amen. Church, I said others will be small. Amen. Others will be small.
Amen.
Who will get this work done? Verse 16. And I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another. Please focus on the word another. We are going to use it a lot in this teaching. When we get to the operation of the gifts, he will give you another comforter. The word another, you are going to remind me later, is the Greek word allos. Amen.
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 There are two words for another for this teaching in the Greek. I will need two women and a man to get this point across. I mean human beings, come forward. Two women and a man. Amen? Two women. Quickly. Because you need quickly. Two women. No. Come to the frame. Okay. Amen. One, two. I need a man. Quickly. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. No. I'll be on the side. You stay in the middle. I just wanted to let everybody worldwide do that for love. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright. Okay. Now look at this. Allos and heteros are the two words in the Greek. Allos. No, it doesn't matter. They need to see them. So, allos is another of the same kind. So, this will be allos. Amen.
Amen.
Of the same kind. In numerical value, of the same kind. So when we are counting, when we say, don't mislead me. When we say human beings, how many people do we have on there?
Three.
Human beings. Three.
Yeah.
Amen. How many human beings do we have there? Three. But in this category of human beings, we have two of the same kind. That will be allos. Same kind. Same as it were characteristics. Are you getting it? In body, are they particularly the same people? No, but they are of the same kind. Allos. Then we have a man. So when we move from allos, what will he be? Heteros. Heteros will mean the same of a different
kind.
Meaning, is he a human being?
Yes.
But is he a woman?
No.
But he's a human being.
Yes.
So we have three human beings. Allos and heteros helps us classify and distinguish them. Amen. So allos of the same
kind.
Heteros of another kind. So at the top level, human beings, they are the same.
Yeah.
At the base level, they are the same, the two women, heteros of a different kind. You get it now?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kengo. And that's what I did, everybody. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Amen. Amen. If I leave the church, I'm not going to do that. John 14, verse 16. I'm there. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you
another
comforter. Guess the word that is used there? Allos. So, let's, for the sake of our brain. So, we have Jesus and the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Same
kind.
What? So, you, why is he going to most likely use allos? The Spirit he is talking about, you will not be able to see. But in characteristic value, it will be the same. What this Jesus can do, this Spirit can do. Amen.
Amen.
So then he says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, meaning of the same kind. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That he may abide with you
forever.
So, this anus, if you like the Greek, paraclete or parakletos, comforter in the loose Greek rendering, strengthener, aider, helper, intercessor, this paraclete or this person is exactly like me. And when he comes, he will be with you forever. So the gift of God to humanity is the Spirit. The Spirit abiding with the man forever. The point now is, there is a Spirit. So, that's why later in Romans will call him the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is now in the believer. In the believer, is in the believer, he abides with the believer. Abide is the Greek word meno. To dwell and settle and stay there. So, meno is so meno. So you most likely say, I have been menoing in my marriage for the last 12 years. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what you mean the one of running away. So I didn't check it. It's the one that is applicable that I know. I remember when I traveled to Greece with my kids. My kids were boosting. My father knows Greek. I said, no, it don't apply to me. I know eternal life. I know if it is outside. I don't even know what devil means in Greek. I don't really need to know. Amen. He will abide with me forever. What is the boast of the believer? I have the Spirit of God with me. He abides with me. This is the word of the Lord to me. Based on the mercy of God to me. This is my reality. He now tells us this. Look at even verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. There's something about this Spirit. Tell me about the Spirit in verse 17. It says, the world cannot
receive.
Come on, the world cannot
receive.
The world cannot receive because they see it him not. Hope you know that Greek speaks very boy. Is that's the problem with language? Amen.
Amen.
This is not an argument to make feminists start saying that means Greek speech is a girl. That's not the same. I'm just saying, in terms of trying to explain it, we have to fix a gender neutral on the it turned out Aki wrote, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth, it can't say us. You know? It can't say they. He has to put something there. Him not. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Neither knoweth him, but you know him. I want you to see something there. Who did he say they know? The Spirit. Who have they been with for 3 years?
Jesus.
But who did he say that they know? So if you know, tell me, if you know, Jesus, you know the that which Jesus is saying here. So, because they don't even know Spirit, but he's telling them that you know him. Because the point is, you know me. You know Spirit. I am actually Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Amen.
Amen.
I became man for your sake. Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
So, who is God? God is, please help me now.
Spirit.
God is not so deep now.
God
is
Spirit.
Well, God is John 4:24. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in it.
Yes.
Amen. People are just, why people are afraid to be wrong? It's okay. Honestly, I only love you. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But ye know him. I want you to follow the words. For he dwelleth
with you.
No, no, no. I want you to be there. It's where in verse 17. Where in verse 17? Yeah, you know, I have put down the pedal a little. You know, just crack a joke a little. Just to get us all together. I'll soon take it up again. Alright, let's continue. For, but ye know him, for he dwelleth
with
you. Church, he dwelleth
with you.
He dwells with. Who was with them?
Jesus.
Who did he say dwells with them in the prayer? So was the Spirit with them?
Yes.
How was the Spirit with them?
Jesus
was with them. Amen. For he dwelleth with them. He dwelleth with you. But what is he promising? He's there. And he shall be
in you.
But he shall be
in
so
you.
What is the promise of resurrection? Man will have Spirit in him. Amen.
Amen.
So we are those ones that have the Spirit in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Church, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Church, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So the Spirit of God I have in me now. What about you? The Spirit of God you have in you?
Now.
The Spirit of God you have in you?
Now.
Now. I am the fulfillment of the statements of Jesus. Amen.
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 Let us so. What has God given us? Spirits. So, I mean, okay, you are convinced that you have spirits. Or should I still do some more? Let me give you one or two more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says the same thing, but let's look at it quickly. So, we say we came all day to come and hear God's word. We can't be saved because of our time again. You can't be saying it for a long time. Maybe you don't even know it. Amen.
Yeah.
Alright. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14. Let's take it a step further. But ye be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen.
Amen.
Should we talk about this or should we move on? Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Any spirit that tells you to be yoked with an unbeliever, is it the Holy Spirit?
No.
Do we have to be there?
No.
Do we have to pray?
No.
Why? The Spirit and the Word. Do you know why I'm doing the Word? Do you know why I didn't just come and say, start laughing. Come across the tongue. I want to show you. Amen. I could have come here and just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, let the healing power start to flow. Glory to God. Oh, you start. No. But you can question and say, on what grounds is this real? That's why we do the work. Amen.
Amen.
So do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Is it is it for you today? Church, is it for us today?
Yes,
it's for us today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have anybody yoked with unbelievers? No, we don't do that. We don't. Amen.
Amen.
When you see an unbeliever, man or woman, forget his biceps and calls.
Mm-hmm.
That's a product of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Talk to your feelings. Amen.
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 Amen. Some people are ministry material. They are not your lovers.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Do not be anybody yoked with together with unbelievers. Why? It says it there. For what? Are you there?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Most of the misbehaviors of man, you can write it down, is an identity issue. Because it says what? Listen, it says do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Then it's explaining. He's not explaining based on identity. He says what? He's trying to tell you that it doesn't go. It just doesn't go. Look at it. He says, what does he call the believer? He says, for what fellowship at
righteousness
the king. That's the next verse. For what fellowship at
righteousness
with what?
Unrighteousness.
How did you become righteous? By the gift of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So it's just, we're saying in this kingdom, we marry at home. We don't do away. Amen.
Amen.
Talk amen.
Amen.
We marry in our kingdom.
Yes,
it should not be a temptation.
Yes.
It should be a sign something is fundamentally wrong.
Yes.
Pursuing a relationship with an unbeliever.
Yes.
Someone says, ah, is it only good to bring to you? It's only good.
Only
good, like Brother Toby said, anywhere we're sharing the word of God, the, what did he say? The glory. Wherever the word of God is shared, the glory of Abba. Praise God. What fellowship? Look at it. Does righteousness with what? Righteousness. So you became righteous not because you're good, you became righteous because of a gift. So he says, in that family, that's where you do life. Amen. Praise God. He now says, what communion? What's communion? Fellowship, partaking, sharing. What is not about communion? There's a sharing.
Yes, sir.
So he said, what sharing as what? Please read it for yourself. Light with darkness. Amen.
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 See, I'm too lighted for that thing.
Yes.
Amen. Church, I'm too lighted. So you talk to your emotions. I'm lighted. Ah, it's plenty. That's how we do it. See, the word of God doesn't mean it to be convenient.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, the word of God is for the renewing of your mind. So, it sometimes and most times, if we are very, very honest, almost all the time will not be convenient.
Mm.
Anytime the flesh has to do with it, it is not convenient. There is a war between the flesh and the spirit. So, you will have to take a side. You will then say, I am light. Not darkness. Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
He said, what conquered at Christ? I mean, verse 15. With Belial. 1 Corinthians 16. What part are the believer? Which are infidel. So, the point is I'm talking about you. You are the one that is righteous. You are the one that is light. Don't look anywhere. You are the one we are saying, a believer.
Amen.
You are not to be on the poly yoked. Amen. You are yoked with prophecy.
Amen.
I hear it. You are yoked with tongues.
Yes.
You are yoked with the gift of healing.
Yes.
You are yoked with the same. Do you know the meaning of yoke? Do you know the meaning of yoke? It's tied to you.
Amen.
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 You know, like, I think it's in the book of, is it? Isaiah 10 verse 28 says, it shall come to pass, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So what is a yoke? A very hardy, something that is tied to something, that is a stronghold. I'm saying to you, there's a stronghold upon your life.
Yes.
It's prophecy.
Hallelujah.
It's tongues.
Yes.
It's interpretation.
Yes.
It's healing. It's word of knowledge. It's word of wisdom. It's tied to you. It's a yoke. It's something you carry. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 16. For what agreement? So if you are agreeing too much with an unbeliever, there's a problem. There's a problem. You are. I'm not really talking relationship. Don't mind me, but I am. Amen. I'm not talking it because of that. Okay. Because you know we have to be practical in our age and age. Yeah. So we don't have men of God that can raise the dead. I'm going to marry Shumbo. Amen. Hey, what should we bow? Google it. If you don't see it, it just means something you should not see.
Amen.
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 Men and women, because we need to protect our own.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's what I share this thing. We need to protect our own. What concord? You don't know concord. Agreement. As Christ with Delia. What part? At the beginning of the long video, verse 15. And what agreement at the temple of God, and the temple of God. No space for idols. That's it there. What an idol. Any other thing that takes your affection, that takes the center. No, Jesus is the center of your life. The Spirit is the center of your life. No, so the Bible tells you about you. Amen.
Amen.
He says there, you are the temple. He didn't say you will be. Say, I am the temple of the living God. Come on, I am the temple of the living God. Say, I am the temple. What do you find in the house of idols? The God that they are serving. Amen.
Amen.
Even in the Old Testament of Holies of Holies, what do you find in the Holies of Holies? A representation of God. What is this saying? What do you find in the believer? God.
Amen.
We are, you know, we have to be careful nowadays. This is our nowadays. I'm more careful how I teach. Someone just arrived and I'm the temple. Bro, you are not the temple. We are the temple. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. I don't need church, I'm the temple. We are the
temple.
Everyone supplies his own. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
These are our days. We are
the temple.
Only you cannot be royal priesthood. Only you can be a holy nation. It's peculiar people, not peculiar persons.
Amen.
The Bible is written in such a way that you will crave community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
In such a way that you will actually crave community, knowing that they are a part of you.
Yeah.
That is why we have to correct this. I am the temple. I am the temple. We are the temple. I am the temple, can just be living. I am the temple. I am self-sufficient. Amen.
Amen.
I am a member.
Amen.
Is that better? I am a
member.
But you know, my hand. Let me say it again another way. You know my hand. This hand, whose hand is it?
Yours,
sir. Dio's hand. It cannot fit it anymore. Dio's hand. Right? So, this is Dio's hand. It's a member of this temple. So we can say this hand is the temple, but it's a member. Amen.
Amen.
So the point is that you don't, because he said, I am no longer the temple. So I can't confess. I'm not, you can confess you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but understand that we are members. Amen. It is the community part of this that when people don't understand what you do like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is why the progress that they should experience. They don't, because God has set us all in units and pockets to be a blessing one to another. That's why it says each part supplying its own. Meaning that one of the things we're doing in this meeting that we're getting into a point where you can supply better. Why? You can supply better to be a better blessing wherever you are situated. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we said so far to say we are the temple of the living God. God dwells here.
Yes.
By his spirit. So if God dwells here, so what have we said so far? The spirit is in me. What can this spirit do? 7 more minutes and we're around for the first session. What can this spirit do? Amen. Can this spirit do something?
Yes.
Church, can this spirit do something?
Yes.
Do you have this spirit?
Yes.
So there is a can do spirit in you. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
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 Amen. Open to the Joel we have been talking about so far. Joel chapter 2. Are you there? Joel chapter 2. That's the prophet. Are you in verse 28? I want you to be there. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, because this is where we're going to end this first session, which in this first session, all we have been able to do, right, is we have been able to establish spirit location.
Mm-hmm.
Next session, spirit ability. Amen.
Amen.
Final session, spirit expression.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Spirit, what has happened by now? Spirit
location.
So where is this? Where is the spirit located?
Indeed.
Yeah, that's all we have been doing so far. Why are we doing this systematically? So that by the time we get to spirit expression, you have passed the first two courses.
Mm-hmm.
confidently. You know where the spirit of Jesus is here. Then we have the abilities of that spirit that is located in thee. Where? What is the ability of the spirit? Then we cannot express. Because you know, we are even going to teach expression. Hallelujah. Alright, so let's start to feed a little bit on ability of that spirit that is located in you. Joel 2:28. It says, it shall come to
pass.
It shall come to
pass.
Afterward that I will do what?
Pour my spirit.
Come on, what will God do? What will God do?
Pour my spirit.
Now, this is where I want you to be particular. See me, I want you to be particular. Take the words one by one. Who will he pour out his spirit on?
No.
Is that so bad? Whatever. Mark it there. If you're writing down, write it down. This spirit we are talking about that will be poured out is an all flesh matter. You must be sure. The basis of your confidence is the writings of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Look at it here. He will pour out his spirit upon how many? How do we know God's mind? Through the writings of his prophets. This meeting, you wanted to say, this morning I'll be talking about sins. It doesn't concern me. You have something to change your mind. How many? All flesh. What is that thing that happens with all flesh? When this spirit comes, even in the days of Joel, he did identify gender as two. Look at it. 28. Selah. In the days of Joel, he identified gender as two. If gender should be four, Joel have picked it up. If it was a new age thing, Joel have picked it up. Moses was not sure, but he tells us that. And your sons and your daughters. What will sons and daughters who have received the Spirit be able to do? Professor. So obviously the next session we'll be talking about that. And your old man. It depends on the way you interpret this. Right? And because this is Bible, it's not talking about people walking in a walking stick. Old men will be elders. Amen.
Amen.
What will the old man do? What will the young men do? I hope Father is not looking for young women. Again, this is not gender specific. This is, we have to put a gender to it. So, the point is, a man should see this and say, it's me. A woman should see this and say, it's me. So it's a woman, a young man.
Yes, yes.
Don't cut this part alone. Help me, I'm a ministry. It's a woman, a young man.
Yes.
So it's a young man. Hey, let me move on quickly. It says, and your young man shall see visions. It's a woman, a young man that can see.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So the Bible tells us that the young man is a symbol of humanity that have received the Spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The young man shall see. This is proof of the prophecy. I am the man of faith. I say I see. Daniel. By books read in Daniel 9 that some certain things were meant to happen. That's what knowledge should do to you. Provoke a manifestation. Daniel read that some things shall happen in his days, and they have not happened. He went in prayer. What's going on? This should have happened. to know. So we get to a point where we are saying, this is my reality. Sin is my realm. According to Joel, it is something that is natural to me. Supernatural in my natural. So supernatural is what other people say. Supernatural is natural for the saints. Amen.
Amen.
Someone else will see it and say, wow, supernatural. It is where we live. Our location is spirit. Supernatural. That's where we live. That's it. So, but we must know. We must know. That's why we talk about knowledge. It shall come to pass. So the point is, if you are here and you are reading the prophet Joel, and prophet Joel is saying, you, not another, you will prophesy. You will say, then you're wondering and saying, okay, then I see. Because he said, you, the Lord will pour. He has poured. Meaning in the pouring is the same. Amen. So in the pouring is the same. I must just know. Hallelujah. 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 And one of the things I do is I hold on fast to the fact that it's my realm. Come on,
I see.
Come on, I see. He said, I shall prophesy. It's an ability of the Spirit. An ability of the Spirit. Come on, by the end of this translation. It's an ability of the Spirit. Come on, I want to hear you. It is an ability of the Spirit. Come on, it is an ability of the Spirit. You know, what we're trying to do here. We actually get excited on that which is ours. Are you hearing me? We actually get excited on what is ours. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
An ability. The Bible says Jesus speaking in that day, they came back and said, Master, the demons tremble in your name. He said, do not rejoice, because demons tremble in your name, in my name. Much more rejoice, because your name is written. What is the joy of heaven? Death has been defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With death being defeated, we receive the Spirit.
Yes,
and in receiving the Spirit, there are abilities. And it's here.
Yes.
The man of faith does not walk by what he feels. You will not feel it. You have to know it. You have to know it. Right upon your feet. You have to know it.
Amen.
Glory! I'm a man of the Spirit. Come on, I'm a man of the Spirit. Come on, I'm a man of the Spirit.